بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة بن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك روعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. In the return of our imam, please recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
I'd like to congratulate the brothers and sisters on this very auspicious occasion of the birth of our beloved Imam al-Hujja ajjalallahu ta'ala farajhum al-sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In the various collections of dua, like Mafatih al-Janan, like the book Sahifa Sajadiyya, and others that are related one way or the other to the Imam of our time. For instance, we have a dua which we are supposed to be reciting every Friday morning, Dua al-Nudba, a very beautiful dua that's supposed to allow us to make a connection with our Imam. In that dua we address our Imam, we speak to him, Yabna Sadat al-Muntajabin. We address him in different titles to try to remember him and to try to create a connection and bond between us and him through our hearts and remembering him. One of the du'as that we have is referred to as a ziyarah, again a daily, this one, as opposed to a weekly one. It's a daily ziyarah that has something called a bay'ah in it. We're supposed to pledge allegiance to our Imam on a daily basis, remind ourselves of an allegiance. If we say to the people that lived during the time of Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi, or the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, and we say people did not pledge allegiance, we go through this practice in order to remind ourselves of this relationship between us and the Imam. We have multiple other du'as, sometimes in the midst of du'as. For instance, I don't know how many of you get to recite the ziyara that is known as ziyara al-jami'ah, the ziyara that's supposed to be one which we can address all of the Ahlul Bayt. That's why it's called the Jami'ah. It combines all of the Ma'sumeen. It speaks to and gives salams to all of the Ma'sumeen and describes all of them. In this ziyarah, we are reminded of the intidar and the waiting for the coming of the Imam. We are reminded of some of the obligations that the believers will have once he comes. We are reminded to want to be of those that are going to help him out. This dua that we started our talk with Allahumma kulli waliyyik, it's interesting to note that this is, according to some reports, a dua that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
used to recite on Laylatul Qadr, the night of the 19th, 21st and 23rd. He used to recite this, he used to encourage the believers to recite it, although at that time when it was recited, it wasn't about the Imam of our time. It's always about the wali that is alive, the ma'soom that is alive, and our affairs are related to him. At that time, they wouldn't say, Allahumma kulli waliyyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan. They would say, Allahumma kulli waliyyik Muhammad ibn Abdullah, referring to the Holy Prophet. Then it was supposed to be Amir al-Mu'mineen, then Imam al-Mujtaba, then Imam al-Husayn, all the way until the Imam of our time, which we put his name there, Al-Hujjah ibn al-Hasan. These are various du'as. One of the du'as which is very interesting is Du'a al-Ahad. All of them are interesting, all of them have very important points to derive from and make use of. But Du'a al-Ahad has something that I want to benefit from. We read in this dua, after, again, this dua also has the concept of pledging allegiance to the Imam. Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
After talking about that allegiance and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our allegiance in this dua, we say the following. Allahumma ja'alni min ansarihi wa a'wanih. O Allah, make me one of his ansar. Those who are going to be helping him out. Wa a'wanih. Two words are similar. A'awn is to help. Nasr is to help make victorious. Wa dhabina anhu. Those who will protect him. Make me one of those, like those on the day of Ashura, who protected Imam al-Husayn, went to fight before they even allowed the children of Imam al-Husayn. They said, the Ashab said, we will not allow Bani Hashim to go and fight before we go and give our lives. This type of want is there, this type of desire towards the Imam of the time. I want to be one of those that gives everything in order to protect the Imam. Even my body, I remember this story of Karbala is something that we need to think about. Every time you read it, it really makes you wonder the type of devotion that this companion of the Imam had. It's difficult. In order to understand it, I'll give you one story. They say that, and some of you may have heard this. They say that there was a discussion between two individuals, two believers, in regards to Imam al-Husayn. One was saying that, I'm not sure if I was there in Karbala, I would be joining Imam al-Husayn. It's difficult. Everybody was telling Imam al-Husayn, look, the people of Kufa are going to betray you. People did not join because of that. People did join, some of them, then when they realized 30 plus thousand troops against, some figures have it less than 100, some have it a little more than 100, but definitely less than 200 people. There's no way there's going to be any physical victory in that. No way. Unless miraculously this happens, which it wasn't going to happen. Being there, wanting to be with the Imam is not an easy thing. Considering ourselves the Shia of the Imam, today, living our easy lives, enjoying the luxuries of this world, it's very easy. But at that time, to say that I would have been with the Imam is not easy. These two individuals were discussing that. One of them was saying, of course we would have been with the Imam. Look at the love that we have. We beat our chest in Muharram, we gather together. We love him, this, that, the other. Of course we would have been there. The other one was saying, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. They say the person who was saying that, of course we would have been with the Imam, had a dream that night. He had a dream that it's the battlefield of Karbala. Companions are going to fight, one after the other. They went, as we hear in the story, they would go and seek permission from the Imam. They would want to go first. It was kind of a rivalry there. Who wants to go first to protect, give their lives for the Imam? So they were doing that. Then nobody else was left. The Imam told me, it's your turn to go. So I was afraid. But the Imam told me to go, so I went. I went forward. I'm going towards the enemy. I see one of the enemy take their bow and they throw an arrow. I see it coming my way, and I didn't want it to hit me. I ducked. And I looked back, I saw the arrow hit the heart, hit the Imam in the heart. He said he woke up and he started to cry. It's not that easy. But that companion on the day of Ashura in Karbala, that's exactly what he did. He stood in front of the Imam in prayer. He took those arrows with his body. When he fell to the ground, they counted 13 arrows in that body. And all he wanted was to hear this. He looked back at the Imam and he said, "Afaradit, are you pleased with me?" This is the type of devotion. This is the type of relationship that we want to have. In this dua, this is what we are taught. وَالْمُسَارَعِينَ إِلَيْهِ فِي قَضَاءِ حَوَائِجِهِ Whatever he wants, whatever he likes me to do, I rush to do that. Sometimes people have to be told, like in that story I just talked about, he was told to go. Others, they have so much love for this person, before he opens his mouth to say something, if they realize and recognize that this person wants something, they'll be rushing to go and get it. They'll try to analyze, what does he want now? They would go and try. It says, this is the type of relationship that we want. And at the end we say, وَالْمُسْتَشْهَدِينَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ We want to be one of those that is able to give their lives for the Imam. This is one passage. Another passage which is important for us to understand is after that bit, we say, Allahumma arina al-Tal'at al-Rashidah. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an eloquent way, that, oh Allah, I want to be able to see my Imam. I want to be able to cast my gaze upon my Imam. This type of language, this line in this dua, this desire to see, this desire to want to give one's life, the desire to try to rush and do what the Imam would want from us. This reveals a certain amount of love for the presence of the Imam. Right? After all, such a person as we have in the ziyarat and the du'as is considered muntadhiran li'amrikum, awaiting. When you're sitting in your house and you have a guest coming and you're counting the minutes for the person to come and you're doing your last minute preparation for the coming of that guest, that feeling that you have and you're doing your work is considered awaiting. Right? That's intidhar. But if you have a guest that you know is going to come, but you're not really counting the minutes for them to come. They come at the door and they knock, you just open the door, just come on in. You're not really waiting for the coming of that person. Okay? Intidhar is that feeling. These ahadith, these du'as, tell us about the Shia, the believer, having to have this form of love and affection towards the Imam, that they can't take the absence of the Imam. They have this fervor in their hearts, they read that du'a nutbah, and they can't control their tears. This is the type of feeling that they should have. There's an interesting hadith about the ghaibah, the time of the occultation of the Imam. All of the previous ma'sumin have talked about this, including Imam As-Sadiq salamullah alayhi and the Imams that followed him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One of these ahadith, the Imam describes the time of the ghaibah. And he says it's going to be very confusing. The Shia will be lost who their Imam is. When the descriptions of the time of the occultation of the Imam were finished, the Imam finished describing that time, this believer started to cry. He hasn't experienced it. He's living at the time where the Ma'sum is right in front of him. Just hearing the description of the time of the occultation, he begins to weep. Right. We're living in that occultation. We're supposed to have this type of love and affection, this desire to want to have the ma'soom, the imam with us, amongst us, leading us. This type of relationship that we mentioned from the dua, we need to have that. The question is, why is it that it's not there? Why is it that it's not there? I'm speaking for myself. Some of the ulama, when we see them, they're constantly in remembrance of the Imam. On a daily basis. Not just on a daily basis, throughout the day. Every time they speak, there has to be something in regards to the Imam. Every time they open their mouths to talk to people, there's something in that session that has to do with the coming of the Imam. When stories of the Imam are mentioned, they weep, they have this. Why is it that our hearts, my heart, speaking for myself, is not like that? The answer is we don't know who the Imam is. I'll give an example. Some of the ulama mentioned this example, some of the scholars, to make a very profound concept tangible and understandable. Some of us have had encounters with some of the ulama. Some of the scholars, we've read descriptions of them. For instance, one example that I'll mention maybe two examples. We had people coming from youth, people in their late teens, early 20s, coming to Iran on a camp that's 1 month long. A very life-changing experience that they had, was really amazing. I very much benefited by just being there, trying to help them out. It was life-changing for them. And just seeing that was very beneficial to myself. These brothers and sisters had not seen many of the ulama. They had heard some descriptions of some of them, including Ayatollah Bahjat. May Allah bless his soul, he passed away a few years ago. A very, very spiritual man. Very well known for that. People would gather from all around the country in Iran just to attend his prayers. He used to recite it in the prayers that were out loud, like Maghrib and Isha, especially on a Thursday night, that masjid, many years ago that I had the privilege of attending, because it gradually got so packed, I really didn't feel like, because you would have to go like an hour earlier to find a spot. People would gather from all over the country to attend his prayer. Because in his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the very sincere connection, when he would reach certain parts of the surahs, you could hear his tone change, and you would hear him, in a sense, weeping, which he was. That spiritual feeling people would gather. These descriptions were heard. Some of the qualities of this man were said. They heard stories. Then in Mashhad, Adil Bashad used to go to Mashhad every summer. And those were the times where you could actually get a hold of him. And Qom, he's so busy, he has his classes, he has his prayers, you can't really get much out of him. He would come every day in Mashhad to visit for ziyarah, every day. These individuals who had never seen the scholar just had heard some descriptions of him. When they heard he comes on a daily basis, they had this want, this desire to go there early, early in the morning, take from their sleep just to see him. Just to see him. If they would get a chance to get closer, because there would be some people that, again, like them, would want to see him. If they would get a chance to get closer to him, they would do that. I'll give you another example. Recently, and some of the brothers were present there, there was a session in the Islamic Republic of many guests coming over in regards to the Islamic awakening. The youth from different countries were brought in. In this conference, there was a session with Ayatollah Khamenei. These people had not seen him, never seen him. They had heard some of his talks, they had heard some descriptions of him. But when they came in and they were told about that session that they will have, when he walked in, I could hear and see. Before, there was an interesting atmosphere. Some of them had some poetry in regards to him, in regards to Ayatollah Khamenei. They recited it on their own. I think they were Pakistani students or youth. I could hear the Urdu. I wouldn't understand all of their words, but they had this poetry they were singing before he was coming. When he came, a lot of the sisters and brothers all burst into tears. They had that much, chose these emotions, show a great amount of love. If one does not know that person, you're not going to have that form of love. Now, this is in regards to some of our ulama, which are at best some of the great students, some of the great students of the Ma'sumin. Why is it? What type of information do we have from the Ma'sumin that we don't feel like that towards the Imam? We don't have this love to want to see him. When we read that line, Allahumma arni al-tala'at al-rashida, we don't have that fervor in our hearts to see it, to see the Imam. That's just reading that. So, one thing that we need to try to do and focus on, inshallah, is to try to become a little more familiar with our imams. Increase our knowledge in regards to our imams. Why is it that we want the imam of our time? What's the benefit of having that imam? What type of a personality does he have? In order to do so, one of the very important a hadith that we have, which is actually a ziyarah, as we mentioned before, is ziyarah Jami'at Kabira. A very beautiful ziyarah. Very beautiful ziyarah. We get to recite this at least once a month, if not once a year, very beneficial. I'll read some of the passages of this ziyarah to try to see what we can gather from this. And I hope both Allah gives me the tawfiq to explain these lines, because these are from the Ma'soom. They're very profound. I want to try to explain it in a way where we can understand the importance of this. In one of the passages of this ziyarah, we say the following. We say, As-salamu ala du'ati ila Allah wal-adillahi ala maradati Allah wal-mustaqirina fi amri Allah wal-tamina fi mahabbati Allah والمخلصين في توحيد الله المظهرين بأمر الله ونهيه وعباده المكرمين الذين لا يسبقونه من قول وهم بأمره يعملون. رسالة صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.
We say peace be upon those who are at du'at إلى الله. They call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Ahlul Bayt, the Imams, are those who call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I'm sure at least some of us are thinking, okay, if we're trying to develop this love towards the Ahlul Bayt, how is this going to get us there? I want to try to explain. I don't know how, I hope it's beneficial. If we understand this, sometimes we've kept ourselves busy, our thoughts busy, our lives busy with certain activities, with certain thoughts, that we're not able to understand things that are a lot more profound. Ad-du'at ila Allah, those who call upon or call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the significance of this? In order to understand the significance of it, the importance of it, we've got to understand who we are. We have to understand our importance. We have to understand the goal in our life. What's the purpose of our life? What are we here to do? What are we supposed to accomplish? Very briefly, if I may say, what we have in the Ahadith and in the Holy Quran in regards to the goal of our creation is something so profound that the words can't truly describe it. We've been given a description that is not so tangible, because it can't be. It's not really possible to explain it any further than that. It's not something that we can understand or fathom unless we move in that direction. It's referred to in some of the ahadith as at-taqarrub ila Allah. Remember that example that we mentioned of Ayatollah Bahjat being wanting to see him, wanting to be close to him, that moving and trying to get close to him. It said that we are supposed to try to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the intention that we make for all the prayers and fasts, all the worships. Getting close to Allah, reaching the proximity of Allah. That's supposed to be very enjoyable. They say Ayatollah Bahjat has said, very truly if we understand this, that two rak'ah of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to the Lord, realizing that connection, is so enjoyable that if the kings would give up all the wealth they had and everything that they have just to recite and to pray two rak'ah of prayer, it's worth it. None of what they enjoy is the same as just two rak'ah of prayer. What is this taqarrub ila Allah? Which then, in the verses of the Holy Quran, if you the consequence of trying to get closer and closer to someone or to something is what? When you move in a certain direction, if I get close to you, the end of that endeavor is when I arrive there, when I meet you. And that's what's referred to as liqa'ullah. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. This is the goal of our creation. The Ahlul Bayt are the ones, the only ones that can truly get us there. The Ahlul Bayt, the Imam of our time, is the one that we're looking for to provide us for instructions to help us purify that heart, for that heart to be able to feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some reason, we don't feel tired sometimes. We're still so busy. We haven't felt tired of the glamour of the dunya yet to be able to have that fervor in our hearts to want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want that liqa of Allah. So, if someone understands the want, the desire to be with Allah, to move in His direction, then when you read the line, As-salamu ala du'ati ila Allah, it brings that joy to the heart, that fervor to want to see the Imam, to get these instructions. Is that a salawat?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
The next line of that, وَالْأَدِلَّا عَلَى مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Along the same lines, if one has a loved one, if one has someone that they really, really like, in the worldly forms of love, usually when in these love stories, when romance forms, okay, when people are young, at the beginning maybe, they have this love for someone of the opposite gender, and that's developed in them, you see them wanting to do, and this is usually what happens at the beginning of the marriage, maybe not later on. One of the brothers, maybe skip on that. Recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil.
The marriage, the relationship is very sweet, very enjoyable. The two spouses are loving one another. Very kind words are exchanged. Inshallah, of course. And gradually, sometimes, unfortunately, we see that. Was that a salawat?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You see that sweet relationship starts to turn a bit sour. Okay, or God forbid, even bitter. Okay. At the beginning, there's a lot of very nice words that are exchanged. And each party, whether it's the husband or the wife, and usually it's the guy, that wants to do whatever to try to gain the heart of their spouse, their wife. Okay. They would do anything, as some say, they would bend backwards in order to please their loved one. And vice versa, of course, the wives, inshallah, would like to have that at the beginning at least. Inshallah, it continues, but sometimes it doesn't. Inshallah, if we live our lives the right way, it would continue. Now, the point we're trying to raise here is, if one has this loved one, then the most enjoyable thing for them is for that person to be pleased with them. Remember that example on the day of Ashura in Karbala? 13 arrows. You can imagine what pain this man is going through. And when he fell, after the Imam said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he looked back just to get these words from the Imam. He said, his words, this man who fell, Afaradit, are you pleased with me? All of this, imagine that pain, to have the Imam be pleased with him. What the Imam can do, if one has that love for Allah, if they have developed that love for God, which sometimes we're clueless what loving God means, again, because we don't know Him. If you have that, thank you very much, then the Imam is the one that's going to guide you and give you those instructions. So, you'd have this want, this fervor to have the Imam. Oh Imam, I'm looking for you. You're the one who's supposed to guide. You're supposed to tell me how I can have this marzat of Allah. And one more line. Recite the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraj.
Is wattamina fi mahabbatillah. They're the ones that have the complete love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything and everything that the Ahlul Bayt had and have was for the sake of Allah and out of the love for Allah. There's a difference between doing something out of love for God and doing it because of other reasons, whether it's hellfire or rewards or whatever else it may be. Even with one having that love for God, but at a lower rank and a lower level, if one wants to do something that's difficult and comes with hardship, then they will feel the hardship, they will feel the difficulty, it will be tough for them, they will be struggling with it, but in the back of their mind somewhere, they're like, okay, it's going to please God. Alright? And there's this discontent to an extent with that activity, but we end up doing it if we're even at that level. We do it because in the back of our mind, we have that some level of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're willing to sacrifice for Him to that extent. However, the Ahlul Bayt are at-tamin fi mahabbatillah. At-tamin fi mahabbatillah. There's something that some of you may have heard, and originally when I had heard it, it sounded weird. It didn't sound right. It sounded like something that is kind of fabricated to bring that love of the Ahlul Bayt to us. It was said that Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi was given the option. I don't know if some of you may have heard that. Imam al-Husayn was given the option. The angels asked the Imam, if you want, we can help. If the angels want to help, in a miraculous way, they could have been victorious. If God wanted, that would have happened. Even though it was 30,000 plus against less than 100, or a little over 100. This option was given to the Imam. But the Imam didn't accept it. I had originally heard this, and I disregarded it. So this is probably made up. But I found a hadith about that in Al-Kafi that says that this is what actually happened. It reminds one of the story of Prophet Ibrahim. When he was to be thrown into the fire, he was asked, do you want help? And he said, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. The Imam was given that option, but he didn't accept it. Don't take that lightly. The explanation for it is very, very, very profound. With the common understanding of it, it doesn't make sense. We'd have to spend hours here explaining what that means. What I want to get from it now is, if the Imam really wanted, he could have avoided all of that. But he didn't. And all the difficulties, seeing his loved ones being butchered like the way they were in Karbala, seeing all of that did not cause him any discontent. They say the closer the Imam got to the moment of his Shahada, the brighter his face got. And his words that he said, his last words were, إِلَهِ رِضًا بِقَضَائِكْ تَسْلِيمًا لِأَمْرِكْ. Whatever you decree, I am pleased with that. These were his words. And he really, really meant that. Not the way we, if we are even practicing, even going through the difficulty, we go through it, having in the back of our minds that we have this love and we're taking that difficulty. No, the Imam, that's not how it was. Without any of that, really feeling peace. This is the Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'll try to end so we can have some little bit of poetry inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that we are blessed as early as possible, even in this year or maybe this week, this month, whenever, the closer, the earlier, the better, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the presence of our beloved Imam al-Hajj. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us develop ourselves, develop our souls, develop so that we can become the companions that the Imam will be pleased with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that he prolongs the life of and gives good health to all of those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the Maraja, and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that he forgives all of our sins, forgives our parents, our relatives, all the believers, those who are alive, those who passed away of all of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the believers of their hardships, all the ill, those who we know. We ask Him to cure all of them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all the believers the needs and requirements that they have in their lives. The physical ones, material ones, as well as spiritual needs. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Imam of our time, who is to spread justice on the face of the earth, that he removes all the oppression in this world and relieve the oppressed people of this globe, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.